respect the choice of your child's soul to come in when they did, and to respect the choice of your loved one's soul to exit when they did. And knowing that ultimately we always have choice, and that we are intelligent souls and intelligent beings who are crafting the experience on earth that we're hoping to have. And that includes both our birthday and our death day. There is no difference between the two of those.
Welcome to the show. My name is Emily Green, otherwise known as Emily the Medium. This show is a space for spiritual seekers to explore all of the topics they're craving to hear more about. We'll cover things like spirit babies, conscious conception, spiritual awakening, the age of Aquarius, developing psychic abilities, 5D consciousness, and so much more. Let's dive in.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a beautiful day wherever you are in time and space. The time that you're listening to this, we are about a week out from the total solar eclipse. The time that I'm recording this, it happened yesterday. How are y'all feeling? How are you all doing? I'm curious to hear how this eclipse portal has been treating you and how you've been feeling physically, emotionally, spiritually, etc. I think it's a very exciting time. I am very excited to see the gifts that this eclipse cycle brings. If you know anything about astrology, you know that eclipses kind of slowly bring in the energy and the change. It doesn't necessarily happen on the day of the eclipse. It happens in the 6 months following the eclipse. So I'm very curious to see where this eclipse cycle takes us in the next 6 months and what kind of change is possible, what kind of healing is possible, what kind of peace is possible for the planet and the people of the planet. What kind of new ideas come in? You know, eclipses are classic eclipse experience for new things to be birthed either during or post an eclipse, new ideas. Personally, my entire life changed after the last total solar eclipse in North America, which happened on August 21st, 2017. My life took an absolute quantum leap in the time following that eclipse. And my spiritual business, which I had been working to grow for the year or so before that, kicked off in a big way about a month after the eclipse in August 2017. And I was able to leave my full-time job in June of 2018, which I heavily attribute to that eclipse cycle along with other astrological influences, but it certainly was a big one. And so be curious to hear if you also had a large amount of changes in your life following the August 2017 eclipses, or if you started something, if you started a business around that time, if you moved, if you ended a relationship, started a relationship, had a child. I'd be really curious to hear what happened in your life following that point. And so it's important to track these things. You know, it's important to have an idea as we look back on our life, but also in the present moment of how and what the energies of the astrological influences are moving for us. I think it's a very important thing to track. So definitely like write down how you're feeling right now. What's coming up for you right now? What kinds of things are rolling through your head? How do you feel about your relationships? How do you feel about what kind of work you're doing on the planet? How do you feel about your job? How do you feel about your friendships? What's changing in all those areas? Write that all down and take note of it, because, you know, things might start to change, right? Especially in the house that is related to Aries, or where you have Aries in your astrological birth chart. For me, it's in the first house. And so I'm experiencing a lot of themes and change around my identity, my self-perception. I don't love this term because I think it's overused and thrown around too much, but, you know, ego death of how we've been existing and identifying what we've been creating and what we want to change moving forward. I read this awesome little blurb on having an eclipse aspect to the first house. And it said, and this, you may relate to this too, so I'll read it to you. It says, it's okay if you don't know who you are right now. When an ego death happens in the first house, your sense of identity is forced back to the drawing board. Trust that it's the not knowing which makes room for answers. So stop putting pressure on yourself to figure it all out. And by doing that, you make it hard for your new truth to breathe. And the mantra, the incantation is, by claiming my uncertainty, I am making room for who I am becoming. So that's very appropriate for me right now, as this eclipse is aspecting my first house. So maybe you'll relate to that as well, or maybe it's hitting your first house too. So as you all know, I'm not an astrologer. I just have a large passion for astrology and related topics. So I definitely talk about it a lot on the podcast here. And I love to have conversations with astrologers who can explain more in depth around astrological topics and themes. Anyway, I digress. Let's get into what we're actually here to talk about today. Well, actually, first, before I get there, I just want to say I got so much beautiful feedback from all of you on my baby naming episode. Lots of people saying that it really supported them in their process of naming their child. A lot of people who are currently pregnant and had a breakthrough moment after listening to that podcast episode. A lot of people who are not currently pregnant but want to have children in the future and are thinking completely differently about names now. I also had a lot of people messaging me saying that they had the same experience as me, which is not being able to make a name stick for somebody and not being able to relate to a person with a specific name, more than likely because that was just not the name that the person was supposed to have. So I had a lot of people saying that. I had also a lot of people who were tapping in who said, I'm one of those people who hates my name. I do not like my name. And almost always they have a story that said, if they're a person who doesn't like their name, they say something to the effect of, my parent picked it randomly. It just kind of came out of nowhere, or it was inspired by like a television show or a book or a movie. Some people say that they panicked and they didn't have a name, and so they just picked whatever was the most appropriate name that they had at the time. Some people say that they were influenced by, you know, family, friends, saying they didn't like the name or what have you. So it was really interesting. It opened up a lot of conversation with people who say they don't relate to their name, they changed their name, they had never liked their name, and they never felt connected to it. So if that's you and you're listening to this podcast, I would love to have more conversations with people who had that experience or are having that experience, especially if you know the story around how your parents named you. Because I got this question from somebody who said, you know, what about people who hate their names? You know, spirit babies choose their name. What about people who hate their names? And it's a very simple answer. It's that, well, the name that they got was probably not the name that their spirit wanted, right? So it's a big thing. And I've also had a lot of people messaging me saying that they were kind of second guessing the choice that they had for their name. They were considering changing the name of their child. It just didn't feel right. And, you know, my suggestion for that is that if it doesn't feel right, that's not something to necessarily ignore. And I know a lot of people were taking the route of like, well, I'll just leave it up to my child and let them change their name when they get older if they want to, which is fair. But I also think that if we have a feeling and we know how important a name can be and how much it can impact our life journey and our life experiences and our confidence and the way that we present to the world, then sooner the better, hopefully. But we also want to make sure that we get it right for that soul, or as right as possible, or as close to what it is that they want as possible. Anyway, I digress. This episode is not about names again. I am going to do, as I've said multiple times, this name podcast episode series is going to be a multi-part series. I'm going to do another few episodes on it in the future. I just wanted to share a little bit about what I have been being asked about following that episode. So what we are really talking about today is the phenomenon of when a baby is born or conceived and a loved one or a friend or someone close to us passes away in and around the same time frame as a baby was born or conceived. So this is something that has been on my radar for a long time. This is something that often comes up in readings, especially because my work has such a fine intersection between life and death. I began my practice as a medium. I still work, you know, with people who are passed very frequently. And so there is a lot of overlap for me surrounding mediumship and working with the souls of people who are passed and also the energies of children who are incoming souls or spirit babies who are still coming into a body. So I want to talk about this in depth and from a couple different angles. But first, I want to share my own story with this experience, because I experienced this, I guess you could say, firsthand. I was a soul who was who was conceived, basically, or was connected to a body, and who had a close family member of my parents pass away shortly after. And so I'll tell that story. I was conceived in March 1994. I know this, the whole story around my conception, which I think is a really beautiful thing to understand. I think for some people, they can get a little freaked out about that, but I think it's a beautiful thing to understand. Like, what were the circumstances around your conception? When did you come in? Where did you come in? Right? Because that's a very interesting thing. For me, I was conceived in the mountains, you know, in a place that I really love, at a high altitude. And I came into this life with a love for mountains and high altitudes and human design. My environment is mountains. So, you know, there's some synchronicity in and of itself. But I was conceived in March 1994. And my great-grandmother, who my mother was very close to, had a very beautiful, deep relationship with, passed away 2 months after my conception, almost to the day. It's actually not completely known what day my great-grandmother passed away on, but it's my belief and it's my opinion that it was actually the same day. So for example, you know, conception in and around March 15th and death date in and around May 15th. That's my experience of it as I've tuned into it. And I was then, and when it's actually kind of an interesting story, because my mother was planning on telling her great-grandmother that she was pregnant with me the next time she was planning on seeing her, which I think was not a very long time after she passed away. I think it was about a week after, at her birthday, my mom's birthday, which is at the end of May. And she never got a chance to share with her that she was pregnant, which I think was always kind of a hard thing for my mom. And maybe some of you can relate to that too, of having this beautiful news that you can't wait to share with a family member, and then not having the chance to either share that news with that person, or, you know, you are able to share that news, but then that person isn't able to meet your child or your baby. And we'll talk a little bit more about the energetics around that. But anyway, I was named after my great-grandmother. We share a name, and we have a very, even though I never physically got to meet her in this lifetime, we have a very deep soul connection, which we'll talk about. This story was told to me, I think probably the first time. I've heard about it in bits and pieces, a story about my great-grandmother passing away after I was conceived and my mother not having the chance to tell her about it. The story was told to me a couple of times through the years. And so I knew about it. I was aware about it. But this was kind of when I heard about these stories. This was pre my spiritual awakening. I thought it was certainly interesting. And I remember it piquing my interest and feeling like there was something there. But at the time, I just didn't have the capacity to be able to really dive into it and kind of understand it. And I remember this was probably about, it was shortly after my spiritual awakening. And I've actually never told my mother this, and I know she's listening to this, so I know she'll find this interesting. Shortly after my spiritual awakening, I had a dream of my great-grandmother. And she came to me in this dream, and she basically, I was talking to her. We were sitting down having a conversation. And I remember in the dream, I brought up this experience that my mother had of her being pregnant with me and never getting to tell her. And I remember in the dream asking her, like, what do you think about that? And she said something along the lines of, it's a little fuzzy, but something along the lines of, well, of course I knew that she was pregnant already, you know, and that's why I had to leave, right? That was our agreement. That was our soul contract between you and I. That was the way it was always going to work. And I chose the date and the time. It had to be any time before you were born. I chose the date and the time that best worked for me, but that was my decision. That was my choice. We were intricately linked together. And in order for your soul to come in, my soul had to exit. Right. And I remember getting that message in the dream, and she was just so confident about it. There was no sadness around the fact that that had to be the case. There was no, it was just a very confident, very matter of fact type of way of transmitting that information to me in the dream. And I remember waking up and kind of being, well, that makes sense. And I didn't know why it made sense, because again, this was shortly after my spiritual awakening, and I was still kind of learning how to make sense of these prophetic and psychic dreams that I was having and still have. But it made sense to me. For some reason, it was like, oh yeah, of course. Some part of me remembered that she was right, that we did have an understanding and agreement that that was the way that it was going to be. And, you know, we'll go deeper into this as we move more into the subject matter around this podcast interview. But that is most often how these things work, is the reason that that happens. It's not the only reason, but one of the reasons that that happens. Why would a loved one that we love so dearly and we want them to be a part of our child's lives, why would they pass away before they were even able to be informed of the conception? Or why would they pass away before the birth or even on the date of birth? I hear about this all the time, about loved ones who pass away on the same day that babies are born, right? Why would that happen? So we'll get a little bit deeper into this, but the fundamental thing to know is that that was something that my great-grandmother and I set up before she was conceived, and ultimately before I was conceived. That was an agreement and understanding that we had together of that was the way that things were going to be. And so we'll talk more about that. But before we move forward, I want to play you a voicemail that I got from a wonderful community member. Her name is Alex, and she's going to share a personal story and experience of how this happened to her.
Hi, Emily. My name is Alex. I absolutely love all of your work. I have read your book, and I've done one of your Spirit Baby Collective events. And I actually did one a couple weeks before we conceived our third child, which is our daughter. And she communicated with me during that event. And she's been communicating with me for 2 years leading up to her conception. Anyway, I saw that you were collecting stories from people who had loved ones pass around the time of conception or birth. And my grandfather, who I was extremely close with, I found out I was pregnant on December 4th. And on December 5th, he went into the hospital and ultimately passed away a couple weeks later in December before Christmas. And then only 7 weeks after that, my mother, who was his daughter, who I had a complicated relationship with, actually ended up passing away. So I lost both of them within 7 weeks, right after I found out that I was pregnant with our little girl. So I know this little girl is a blessing, and we are so thankful for all that she's doing while in the womb and all that she's going to bring to our family. So I just thought that.
Okay, beautiful. So first of all, just wanting to thank Alex for taking the time to share this story with me and with the community, because I think this story, there's so many different things I want to touch on from this, but I think this story really contextualizes what we're talking about here very well. First of all, sending lots of love to Alex for in the process of losing two of her loved ones, whether it doesn't matter where the relationship was at, that's still moving through the grief experience around that. And, you know, the first thing that I want to say is that I've been talking about these things. I've been having lots of conversations with different people. One of the things that somebody brought up is, well, why does this have to happen? Like, why does somebody have to die for somebody else to be born? Why? That's so cruel. You know, how could that be a thing? And I think they were kind of thinking that it was almost like a punishment type energy, either for the soul who is leaving or the family who was left behind. And I think that's the first thing that I would like to clear up. You know, as we're talking about this conversation, it's certainly not an energy of like an eye for an eye. You know, for somebody to live, another person must die. It's nothing like that. I think that's like kind of Hollywood dramatization of these topics. It's much deeper than that. There's a much deeper meaning to this. And it's, I really believe that it's unique between two souls. So the experience that myself and my great grandmother had, that was our unique weaving of each of our individual soul contracts. And it was important to each of us as souls to have that experience for her to exit shortly before shortly after I was conceived, right? That was an experience that we co-created together. And I think that's the first thing I would like people to understand is that as we are a soul preparing to come into a body, I've talked about this a lot, that there's a lot of things that we're doing, right? You know, people say, I can't hear my spirit babies, or they're so quiet. And it's like, okay, be patient with them, because although, you know, it is more multidimensional than that. It's not like they're busy doing something and they can't talk to you necessarily, but there's a lot of things first that souls do before they come into an incarnation. You know, they're planning their lives, they're choosing their bodies, they're building the destiny, they're choosing the experiences that are going to be most important to them. They're choosing the opportunities that will come their way. They're choosing the challenges that will come their way. You know, all of these things, we're weaving our entire life journey before we get here. Now, as always, nothing, even with the best laid plans, things can sometimes go in a different direction. We have free will on this planet. And so that means that even if we did have something planned for our soul, it may not always go that way, right? Because we may make a decision that then alters that timeline, and a domino effect further down the line, things can just go in a different direction. But for the most part, when this is happening, when a death and a birth or a death and a conception coincide, this is an intentional co-creation between two or more souls. Sometimes it's not just between two people or two energies. It's between multiple people. Sometimes it's between large groups of people, right? That's a whole other story. That's a whole other situation. But back to beautiful Alex and her story that she shared with us so generously, what I find very interesting is that her grandfather went into the hospital the day after she found out she was pregnant, right? And we could think, oh, that's just a coincidence. But as you all have heard me say, there's no such thing as coincidences, right? This was an orchestration between the soul of Alex's daughter and the soul of her grandfather. This is an experience that they created together. Now, there's other people who were involved in that. Of course, Alex was involved in it. Perhaps other family members were involved in it later down the line. Alex's mother was involved in it. But this is something that was a co-creation between these two energies. So what I also think is interesting is that then after Alex found out about her grandfather going into hospital and then eventually passing away, shortly after that, again, her mother passed away 7 weeks later. So she lost two people in the same family line, mind you. This was her grandfather was the father to her mother. This was through her paternal line. And that's also not a coincidence, right? This is a ancestral healing experience that's going on, in my opinion, where these two soul energies, the soul of her mother and her grandfather, are clearing the way for her daughter in one way or another, and the life experience that she's going to have. So let's explore more reasons why this can happen. You know, like I've said, this is a for each group of souls, whether that's two souls or more than one soul, this experience is unique to them and something that they were looking to create together. I will say one of my observations is that especially when it comes to death that occurs before birth, so conception has occurred, but birth hasn't occurred yet, that soul of the person who leaves their body is interested in giving some sort of blessing or healing or transmission to that incoming soul. And the only way that they can do that is by transitioning out of their body and being in this other kind of frequency space with this incoming soul. So that's something that I've seen where, you know, I've gotten that a lot in readings where I'm talking to the energy of a spirit person and I say, you know, why did you leave, or why did you leave at that time? And they said, well, I had to go and be with that incoming soul. You know, it was time for me to go anyway, but I also had a greater mission. I had something else to do on the other side. I needed to be able to help in a way that I couldn't in my physical body. And that's something that a lot of spirit people say, is that living in these human bodies is actually very restrictive for the energy of the soul. You know, we're only bringing a certain percentage of our total soul energy into the body, but even then, it's still very constrictive and kind of claustrophobic almost for a soul to be in a human body, because we are used to being in our soul state, being in our spirit state, and not having any constriction through the density of the human form, right? And these bodies of bone and blood by nature are very dense, right? In other places, we might live in our light bodies, or we may not have a physical form at all. We may just be in spirit form, which can take on a variety of different presentations. But for a lot of these spirit people, they say it's restrictive, I'm confined, and I also just can't do what I want to do. I can't be or feel as powerful as I really am. And that's another thing that I've gotten from a lot of spirit people over the years, is that they forgot during their time in a human body how truly powerful they are. And they forgot, in many ways, it's a very common one, who they were and what they were here to do. And so in order to support this transition of supporting a soul into life, helping a soul in their transition into life, an incoming soul, a spirit baby, whatever you want to call it, they needed to be out of their body in order to support that transition. And I will say another thing that I've been shown and that I've been told is that this will happen a lot when the person who is leaving their body has done all that they can do during their time on Earth. So they came, they did as much as they could, they tried their best, hopefully, and they have reached a point in completion in their journey. Sometimes that means they've learned the lessons they came to learn. Sometimes it just means that the soul recognizes that it's not going to be able to learn much more. It's reached a point of stagnation or completion, or it's just not going to be able to move forward, perhaps in the way that it wants to. And the death or the passing represents that this new soul, this new child who's coming in, is going to be able to bring in a new frequency, or they're going to be able to almost pass the torch. That's a symbology or an analogy that I've been shown time and time again when I'm talking to souls who have passed, who are working with children coming into their lineage, is that they're passing the torch to them to carry along what they started, what they started to do, or what they weren't able to accomplish in a certain way. There's this energy of passing the torch. And so one soul leaves the body, passes the torch to the incoming soul, and that soul is able to continue their mission. And I truly believe this is not just within a lineage or within the family structure. This is greater than that. It's bigger than that. It's within the world at large, the collective, you know, consciousness on the planet and this sort of thing. And, you know, what's really interesting is we can actually cross-reference this astrologically, especially with the, I find it very interesting, the correlation of the Pluto and Scorpio generation coming in, or who came in from the late 80s into the mid 90s. I believe that's the time frame. Excuse me if I'm getting the dates wrong. I didn't look at this before I wanted to talk about it. It's just coming to me now. I really see something that I notice, and I'm a part of the Pluto and Scorpio generation, very final degrees. If you know anything about astrology, you know that Pluto is a generational, Pluto signs are generational because it's such a slow moving planet. And so we have, you know, large groups of people who all have the same Pluto signs. So for example, Pluto and Scorpio generation, I think was like, let's look it up actually right now. Let's get our facts straight here. Okay, so Pluto and Scorpio generation represents people who were born between 1983 and 1995. So before that, Pluto was in Libra. But what I see in Pluto and Scorpio generation, I guess you could also say that that coincides to the millennial generation, is these are people who are really excavating a lot of the pain of their ancestral lineage and a lot of the imbalance and injustice and the collective shadow of the planet and of the world. They're really interested in bringing that all out into the light, you know, bringing that from darkness to light and transmuting it and transforming it. I know definitely for sure for me, that is something that I'm doing. And so I think this is very much like that, the energy that we're talking about that some of these souls are doing, is that their ancestors are passing them the torch. And they are continuing forward the work that our ancestors began or started or that they weren't able to complete, right? I think in the case of Alex's story that she told, I find that very interesting that Alex had sort of a complicated relationship with her mother or a difficult relationship with her mother. And now she's about to have her first daughter, right? I know Alex and I know a little bit about her story. Now she's about to have her first daughter. And how interesting is that, that her mother exited before her first daughter was born, right? There's no coincidence around that. And if we were to go into the energetics around that more deeply, I'm sure we would find a lot of clarifying and validating information surrounding Alex's relationship with her mother, what Alex wants, and the kind of future that she wants to create for all her children, but specifically her daughter, and so on and so forth. So I think that that is something that I see a lot surrounding this conversation. But I want to hear from you, you know, with this topic, it's such a big one and there's so much around it. And I want to hear from you if you've had this experience, if you lost a loved one around the same time that you conceived and or gave birth to a new child. I'd love to hear your experience around that, what you felt was going on, any dreams or premonitions or prophecies that you had around that experience, what kind of sense you make around that experience. Maybe some of the explanations that I've given you have made sense to you. So I'd love to hear from you. Interrupting this episode very quickly to tell you about an event I have coming up on May 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern. It is called The Conception Portal, and this is a group spirit baby reading. Different from the events I've done in the past called Super Conscious Conception events, which were primarily an opportunity for you to deeply connect with yourself, your body, the energy of your children, and an energy healing event. This event will actually be me tuning in to the group field of all of the spirit babies present and delivering their messages, both collective and specific. And hint, hint, I may even be doing a few one-to-one mini readings on this call, on this group reading. I've never done anything like this before. I'm very excited for it. And I don't know if I'll do it again. We'll see how I like it. So I only have 100 tickets available. I am already 60% sold out and we are more than a month away. So I highly recommend you get your ticket ASAP if this is something you're interested in. We'll be doing a group spirit baby reading. We will be doing a little bit of energy healing. I'll be answering some questions and doing some one-on-one mini readings. It's going to be an amazing experience. Not to mention, we're doing it underneath the full moon in Sagittarius, which is a beautiful moon. So I hope to see you there. I will have the link for tickets in the show notes. One last thing I want to say on this specific topic, and then we'll move on to a couple other different offshoots of this same phenomenon, is that it's very common over my years of giving readings. You know, people say, I loved this person so much and they passed away before they could meet my child. And I'm devastated because all I ever wanted was for my mother to get to meet my first child, or all I ever wanted was for my father to, to play with his grandchildren, or my grandmother to meet her great grandson or granddaughter, you know, and they passed away before that could happen. How could this happen? This is so devastating, right? This is so sad, and I wish they were here, right? And so just sending out a big blast of love to anybody who has navigated that experience or is navigating that experience now, or even, you know, if you have lost a loved one and you're still a while out from having children, but you're still thinking about the consequences of that loss, right? Where it's like, oh my gosh, I always thought that I would be able to have my mother present at my birth, or so on and so forth. What I will say is that 100% of the time when I've done readings for people who have lost loved ones and then they're pregnant or they're born or this sort of thing, is that there is always an exchange between the loved one who has passed away and the incoming soul of the child. They know each other, right? And so often what we'll see is souls who have this kind of crossing, right? They're crossing each other on their way out and on their way in, is even though they didn't meet this person physically, when they are old enough to talk and when they are able to communicate and articulate and, you know, make these sort of connections, they will say, oh, there's grandma. Or I've talked to so many people who talk to the spirits of their deceased loved ones or ancestors. And when the parent asks, like, who are you talking to? They'll say, oh, I'm talking to, you know, Gigi, or I'm talking to your mom, or they'll call the loved one by a very specific nickname that had never been communicated to the child, right? So it's very important for you to know that your loved ones and your children know each other. If you're like, I wish they would have gotten to know them, I wish they got to meet, they already do. They know each other. They have had an exchange together before your child came in. No matter how much time has passed in between a passing and a birth or a passing and a conception, they know each other, right? They have a connection with each other. 100% of the time, I have never seen that is not true for any single family member. So that's something I just want people to understand and to know. And, you know, as your children get older and they start to talk and start to be able to communicate and articulate these things, you know, I say to people, show them pictures of the people that meant so much to you that are no longer here anymore. And then just ask questions or leave the space open for them to speak about this person. And you know, you could even just say something as simple as like, this is my mom in this picture, and wait and see what they say about it, right? They know each other, and children will share very specific and information that they couldn't have known, right? Or that you have never told them because there was this energetic exchange before they came into life. Okay. So that's something I want everybody who has ever lost a loved one before they had a chance to meet their child to know. So the last offshoot of this topic that I want to touch on before we close for today is when this happens. So this phenomenon of a loved one passing away around the same time a soul is born or conceived, there being some really fascinating and beautiful synchronicities, such as a child being born on the same day that a loved one passes away. So the loved one's death date and the child's birth date are the exact same. Very special, right? Another one is a person or a child passing away. This I often see this a lot working within the fertility community when a pregnancy ends or there's a stillbirth, and the day that child was born sleeping ends up being the same day that their future sibling was conceived and or born. So they share birthday, death day at the same time, right? These are not coincidences. And I have a very beautiful story to share around this from a dear friend and client of mine named Marie. Marie, her son, Tristan, passed away when he was 6 years old in 2018 from a condition called diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma. And I've shared Tristan's story in my book. We actually have, Marie and I have a really beautiful story about how we were brought together in this life. I'll have her on the podcast one day so we can share more about it. It's quite incredible, actually. But Tristan's birthday was July 15th. He was a beautiful Cancer, born July 15th. And somewhere along the line, Marie, as she shares a story in my book, she shares about how at a certain point, a handful of years after Tristan's passing, she started to feel this call on her heart to bring in another child. And there was a lot of emotion and a lot of energy around that for her, understandably so, as anybody who's lost a child can understand. And so we did a reading at that time. And I remember Tristan in this reading he said that he had handpicked a soul who was going to be perfect to come into his family and to love his mom and be loved by his mom and to love his little sister, Tristan's little sister. And I remember seeing them side by side, Tristan, you know, taking care of this soul and spending time with this soul. And this was going to be his little brother. And he gave all kinds of information about this soul and who he was going to be. And just he wanted his mother to know that there were going to be so many signs and similarities and things that she could look for to show her that this new soul coming in had truly been, quote unquote, in Tristan's words, handpicked by him. And so shortly after, a couple of months after that reading, Marie conceived, and then she found out it was a boy, just like Tristan said it was going to be. And then as it came time for Tristan's brother, whose name is Remy, to be born, he ended up being born under the same sun sign as Tristan. So they're both Cancer suns. And Remy was born at 7:15 a.m., which was Tristan's birthday. Right? And I got goosebumps as I'm telling this story. So if we look and we really pay attention, there is this, like I've been saying since the beginning of this podcast, there's this co-creation between the soul who's leaving and the soul who's coming in. And often, as we look closely at the web of creation, the web of that co-creation, there is so many signs and synchronicities for us to pick up on and to see and to notice. And so my suggestion to you is, if this has happened to you, you've had this experience that we're talking about in this podcast, go back and see if you can find a synchronicity between these two events, whether it's a birthday and a death day, a time, a date, something significant surrounding these two moments, because I guarantee you there is one. There's so, even within my own story with my great grandmother, there's so many other synchronicities that I don't even have the time to tell you about them today. But my point is, and the reason I bring up this story is, my prayer for all of you, especially those of you who are experiencing grief or confusion of how could this happen, or why would this happen, or this is my worst nightmare, or I'm kind of simultaneously holding these experiences of joy at the conception or the birth of my child, simultaneously holding the emotion of total heartbreak and grief, you know, this kind of these two emotional experiences that we're holding at the same time, which can be really difficult, but it can also be really beautiful. And my prayer for you is that if you've navigated this experience in the future, is that you are able to hold both the grief and also the beauty and the synchronicity and the magic and the co-creation that is occurring between two souls who are very intelligent, and or more than two souls who are very intelligent and who know exactly what they're doing. And they planned this in a way. There was no accident or surprise, mishap, or something that happened that went wrong, right? This is a creation. This is art in a way. And my prayer for all of you is that you're able to tune into the beauty and the art, and to be able, at the very least, even if you can't understand it, or even if you don't accept it, it's very hard for you to accept, that you can at least respect it, right? Respect the choice of your child's soul to come in when they did, and to respect the choice of your loved one's soul to exit when they did, right? And knowing that ultimately we always have choice, and that we are intelligent souls and intelligent beings who are crafting the experience on earth that we're hoping to have. And that includes both our birthday and our death day. There is no difference between the two of those. So that's my prayer for you. I hope that this podcast brought you some peace, maybe some insight. Again, this is an ongoing conversation. I would love to hear from more of you on your experiences with this topic, stories that you have, and we'll continue this conversation in future episodes. But for now, I am sending you so much love and a big hug, especially if you're navigating this experience right now, and I will talk to you soon.